Pump up the volume on your parenting with Parent Pump Radio. Tune into something different that makes a difference. At Parent Pump Radio, instead of a ripple, we choose to create a splash. Get energized, get inspired, and get informed with how to parent in the new millennium. With your host and parent coach super guide, Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen.
Hi, this is Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen. We're here to pump up your parenting skills, pump up your knowledge, and pump up your energy. Our show is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. So go to parentpumpradio.com and subscribe to our RSS feed so you'll be automatically notified of new shows. And if you're interested in sponsoring the show or advertising your business, please contact us at parentpumpradio@gmail.com. You are joining us for our new segment of our radio show called Teen to Parent Talk, where we talk to some amazing young adults who will not only be sharing with you their insights and advice, but also they'll be giving advice and insights to the teens. So our goal is that these young adults will be bridging the gap between you and your kids to create the beautiful, harmonic, deep, meaningful family that you're working towards creating. So our topic today is social media and technology consumption. You're probably not surprised that our tweens and teens are spending a lot of time on technology, like watching TV, playing video games, reading and listening to music, and checking social media. But you might be shocked, as I was, to find out how much time. A new report just came out by Common Sense Media, and it found that our children are spending on average 9 hours a day. And the 9 hours does not include time spending using media at school or for their homework. So that's more than teens typically spend sleeping and more times than they spend with their parents and teacher. And if they're spending 9 hours a day consuming media, it's not a surprise they're often doing it while they're doing their homework. And teenagers think that multitasking during homework doesn't affect their ability to learn. Well, we know it does. Studies at Stanford found dramatic differences in cognitive control and the ability to process information between heavy media multitasker and light media multitasker. And the interesting, this is the last fact, is that 62% of teen boys say they enjoy video games, quote unquote, a lot, versus only 20% of the girls. Our guest today graduated from UCLA in 2016 with a degree in global studies and focuses in international media. The major provided him with an opportunity to write essays about comedy and satires from all over the globe. Currently, he's a comedy writer and editor aspiring to write for television one day. He currently works in post-production at a digital comedy production company called Jazz. In his free time, he creates sketch comedy, hosts talk shows, and writes and directs cartoon. So ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to Ben Kersrock. Hi, Ben.
Hi.
What made you decide to pick global studies as your major?
I thought it'd be cool to, there was a travel study ingrained in the major, so I went on a trip to China as part of my research for, like, it was required to do that. So that was really why I chose it. I thought that was cool that there was one of the only majors where you actually had to go study abroad. And so I wouldn't have to beg my parents to go study abroad. Instead, I'd be like, oh, I kind of got to do it, you know, to graduate.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
So how did that turn you into be an aspiring writer?
Oh, no, I already was. I went into school. I was going to be an English major and then focus in screenwriting and then realized that, you know, it might be cool to study something outside of that because that's all I could talk about anyway was like comedy and movies and TV and stuff. And it would be cool to be able to talk about something else and then channel that into what I do creatively instead of just get completely insulated in the arts right away. But I have considered eventually going to like grad school for film and TV or something like of that nature. I'm definitely going to take community college classes and do that kind of stuff. And I was able to do a lot of those kind of classes during college too, in my spare time.
So what do you do when you're not writing for fun?
I'm very into the outdoors. I do a lot of biking and mountain biking and rock climbing and hiking and going on camping trips, that kind of stuff.
So at least you balance it out that you're out there. I mean, you're in technology all day, right? And so then you get outside and enjoy the outside.
Especially now I'm staring at screens a lot, editing videos and working on computers and consuming but you know, you need those breaks.
Yep, I agree. So let's get into this because I'm really interested in learning more about video game and all this technology. So tell us, what's video game and social media and all this technology? How do you feel about them and what's the pros and cons?
Well, I'd separate video games from, like, should we start with social media?
Sure, let's do that.
I think that the pros are that we can connect with people all over the world instantly, and that the technology was like inevitably going to lead to that. I don't think there was any avoiding where we are now from the start of the first communication technology. I think that that's awesome that we can do that. I can talk to my friends anywhere at any time, and you can use social media to have face-to-face interactions. You can set up meetings very easily. You can do things like we're doing now with social media. But the downside is that these apps are designed to be addictive, especially I know, like Facebook, and the big ones are Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Snapchat. I keep hearing
Snapchat. I'm probably forgetting some, but they're designed to be addictive. That's what these website designers want. They want you to live on the app. So the downside is that we're spending so much time right now as a species, like plugged into these different forms of social media, and we are forgetting gradually like what it's like to just talk to each other face to face.
The personal connection, right? Between humans.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to generalize that everybody's doing this. I just know that I walk around a lot and see people, and I myself do it.
Yeah.
Driving, which is incredibly dangerous. Looking down inelegantly with your neck bent, staring at your little rectangle.
Yeah.
Which looks very stupid. And I think in 20 years, we're going to realize how stupid the cell phones look right now.
Yeah. So what about video games then? How do you feel about that and the pros and cons?
I used to play a lot of video games in middle school. And I think that they are, so as somebody who's very into animation, I think that video games are really, really cool as an art form. I mean, they are the synthesis of so many different art forms. You have the story writing and these incredible animations and voiceover and coding, and all these people are working to create these incredible and intricate games that have a lot of problem solving, and they require kids and adults to use parts of their brain that they can't really use doing anything else, and that can be a good thing, but like anything else, in small doses. And again, these games, especially games that don't have a finite ending, games that are like movies that have a beginning and an end, and that can take, you know, 18 hours to finish, for example, and you could do a couple hours a night until you're done with the game. But there's games like World of Warcraft that are designed to, you're supposed to live in the game. Yeah, there's actually a great NPR about this specific NPR Fresh Air episode about this addictive technology the episode came out a couple weeks ago, and a designer from this guy was talking about how World of Warcraft is designed. They say they create missions within the game, and the players have to complete the mission, and they're tracking everybody's mission. So if a certain mission, they're tracking how many people are staying in the game after the mission. So if it goes over well, then they're going to keep that in mind, and they're going to basically recreate that same mission but change something slightly about it. So they're constantly keeping track of what people like and how people are staying in the game and what's going to keep them in the game. And so that's just designed to be addictive.
Right. And so it's great that you said addictive, because I want to segue into that. I've read that research shows that there's a consistent relationship between violent video game use and an increase in aggressive behavior, and that video games should be viewed as a possible drug that could get addicted to.
Absolutely. I mean, in the same study that I was listening to on NPR, they were talking about the MRI scans of the brain showing the activity, and the same receptors and the chemistry when you're playing a game is very similar to the brain chemistry of doing heroin.
Okay.
Which I thought was, actually wasn't surprised that it's working on the same parts of your brain.
Yeah. And especially some of these violent game, I could totally see why it increases that aggressive behavior. And
that's That's funny though that you say because I had a friend whose mom would come home from work angry and pull out his Grand Theft Auto and play it to get out her aggression. Steal some cars. And I didn't know. I thought that was really funny.
And then you have to think we're talking about kids under 12 years old, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 year old kids who are being allowed to play these shooting games and aggressive, violent game. And what are they doing? You know, how is it affecting their brain and the development of their brain?
Definitely messed up mine.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know parents who uses the video game as babysitting.
That's
right. We all know at least a few in our hands. And I know that there's even an online gamer anonymous now, just like Alcohol Anonymous and Gamblers Anonymous. They're actually something called Online Gamers Anonymous. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, it's addictive. I have.
Yeah. I read that the founder of this anonymous organization says, I've seen a lot of reckless behavior by parents because they want to use games as babysitter. Giving children a game to get them out of your hair is not being a good parent. Be with your children in real life. So why, in your opinion, do parents do this? Because I mean, you got to know it's not good, right? It's like it's not something someone should tell you.
Yeah, like it seems black and white. Well, I'll try to speak out of not judging these parents necessarily, but I mean, I could see why it would be tempting because it's an easy way out of putting the work into a personal interaction. And I think we forget that we think of kids having social anxiety and issues with socializing. There's a lot of adults that literally it takes a lot of effort to be extroverted in any way.
Yeah.
And even as parents, they have trouble connecting with their own kids because they just designed to be more introverted, which is okay, but it is well worth it to put the work in to spend time with your kids. And if you're going to let them play video games with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
In small doses.
Right. You play video games.
I used to play a lot. Yeah.
Okay. And you probably have friends that play a lot of video
games.
Still,
all the time.
What do you see? You're around it probably constantly. What do you see as the negative side effects and maybe the positive side effects of being around that?
Well, I'll say in college and high school, there was nothing more irritating than going to, I don't know if irritating is the right word, but going to somebody's house or apartment to hang out and then having everybody just sitting around the couch playing video games, not talking to each other. I was like, okay, well, I just shouldn't have made the effort of even coming over. Is this what we're going to do?
Yeah.
There's gotta be something else. Let's go eat or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's a million other things to do, but
yeah, like let's pull out a deck of cards. I don't know.
That's another thing. Games are great. Board games are great.
Did you see any negative side effects of your friends?
To be honest, a lot of my friends who play a lot of video games, they're really into it. They're actually very smart. And I think that's part of it is that regular life is not stimulating enough. It's not challenging enough. And so they want that, whatever the video game's providing, to solve problems or do whatever you need to do to get your brain's reward system stimulated. So you...
Right. Okay. I can see that.
So they were very smart, but became physically inactive when you're playing games, unless you're standing up doing jumping jacks, playing Nintendo Wii, which nobody really, true video game, but I don't do that.
Yeah, no, I don't.
people who really play video games, they will wake up and they'll play all day.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. It's crazy.
So some of the negative side effects that research have found, and you tell me if you feel this is true, you've seen it or maybe not, is sleep deprivation, isolation and seclusion, depression, stress, aggressive behavior, unhealthy eating habits, disregard for personal hygiene, carpal tunnel syndrome, and arthritis.
Yeah, I've seen all that, except aggressive behavior. I don't know if I've seen that from video gamers, but everything else, yeah.
Where do you think stress? I mean, why are they stress playing? Where do you think that comes from?
I think that comes from the artificial light from the screen, just that much screen time in general. Like I know I feel more stressed just from coming home from work after a whole day of staring at a screen anyway, just because I've seen research on how artificial light affects your sleep, and stress comes from, they all connect.
Yeah, that's true.
Bad eating, sleep worse, and less exercise makes you,
it's all connected, right.
And so stress builds from those other things.
Why do you think kids are so drawn to video game? What made you draw to it?
Oh, that's interesting. Like originally, because I don't know if it was just because my older brothers played and it was just a social thing that I got drawn into.
Kind of like everybody's doing it?
Yeah, but they're exciting and they're like I said earlier, they are really, really cool. And still they are. These newer games, they're incredible. I almost wish I was interested still just so I can, you know, I wouldn't want to play all the time, but I want to appreciate the art form for what it is. It's just that I think that they get out of hand a lot.
Yeah.
People get really out of hand with their...
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, like, you know, there's great movies with special effects out there, but do I want to be in a dark room watching that movie over and over again all day, day after day, right?
Yeah.
How do you think then it could be dangerous? Have you seen any signs where you think it could be dangerous to be on technology so much?
I think that it's interesting, especially now the direction that virtual reality is going, where games are becoming more and more immersive and more lifelike. And I wonder how being able to go into virtual reality and play a game like Grand Theft Auto, where you are feel like you're in a real city and you're committing real crimes, killing whoever you want, picking up prostitutes and hijacking cars and running from the cops, whatever you're doing in this open map with a virtual reality headset on, and then going back into the real world where, you know, these lines are becoming more and more blurred, that's scary. And so I don't know if that answered your question. That's just something I've been thinking about.
Yeah, well, it's a good thought. You were saying earlier that you have a lot of friends that play video game. Sounds like you're really not into it.
I was, though. It's like,
you were there. So you kind of were in it. Now you're out, so you probably see a better perspective. Has any of them gotten to any kind of trouble or any negative effects from it that you see?
I don't know if they would admit to it, but I think that, like you said, like in college, I had a friend who played probably more than anybody I've ever met. And he, actually, I take that back. When I was working at Five Guys, one of my managers was a gamer and she was nocturnal. She would sleep all day and then work a night shift and then go home and game at night and then come to work.
So she really wouldn't sleep then?
I don't.
Or a little bit.
Or
maybe.
I guess she'd sleep a little bit. I don't know.
Actually,
both. I've had two jobs, and hopefully never again, but I had two jobs in fast food, and one in high school, one in college, and both were when I met like the real gamers that are literally nocturnal. And I don't think that's healthy. We're not bats, but I don't know. Maybe they seemed happy, but and then you said with my own friends, like I've definitely seen. I have a friend who, and I'm not gonna name any names, but I had a friend who played a lot of games and had like pretty bad sleep cycle. And then he had a drink a lot of coffee and not really take care of himself. And then he actually had a seizure in the library one night. And
wow,
I think it's all connected, this stress or whatever caused the seizure and the,
the
constant gaming and stimulation and unhealthy habits.
And considering, you know, over 90% of diseases are caused by stress, we never know what you get, right?
Yeah, exactly.
How do you think the technology and all this media, you know, gaming and social media, how do you think it's changed relationships with your partners and coworkers and families and friends? What have you seen?
Well, again, I think there's a duality to this. If you listen, there's some podcasts about the guy who created Second Life.
What's that?
Second Life was like one of the early... it was before my time, I believe. I don't know if it's still a thing, but it was a game where you basically live your second life in this kind of virtual world. And there's been other games like it since. And it was, I believe, like identical to, they tried to make it as close to possible as just, you're just living your life. You're going to work. You have a wife in the game or a girlfriend, and people have literally met their wives through the game. And it gave people, and continues to, it gives people who normally wouldn't socialize a medium to meet people. But if you're already inclined to socialize outside of your media life or whatever you want to call it, and then you play these games like Second Life, you're almost like rewiring your brain to become more antisocial, which I don't think, or you're...
That can't be healthy.
No, you're not, because it's all practice. Like socializing, like anything else, is practice, going out there and talking to people. So you're you're limiting how much you're doing that if you're only talking to people through texting and through.
Yeah. It's like you're creating this reality that's not a reality. You're pretending you have a girlfriend on there. And so that's just crazy.
It is.
It sounds like it makes the introvert more introverted and the extrovert introverted.
I think, maybe the second one. But I think with the first, I think it can make an introvert more extroverted because now they have an outlet to be extroverted. And that's,
So there are some, like you were saying, there are some good things. So it sounds like it's limitations.
It's, yeah.
And a balance.
Exactly.
Right. So you go play video game, but then you go out and socialize with your friends and talk and throw some hoops around to get some physical activities.
Yeah, I think that's great, especially if you're playing a game that requires a lot of thinking, then it's probably better for your mind than watching a movie because you're in it. And I've heard parents say, I would rather have them go on the iPad and control what they're doing. And at least there's a degree of creativity to the way kids are playing on iPads as opposed to just turning on the TV and letting whatever's playing, consuming whatever is playing without thinking.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. But again, should a kid, like when I used to babysit a lot, I haven't in a while, but when kids were just wanted to go on their iPads all the time, I'm like, okay, maybe you could do this at night for a little bit, but we should go outside. You should read a book.
Especially with us when we live in Southern California, right?
I mean, yeah,
we probably have 10 days out of the year where you can't go outside.
Yeah, exactly. I was babysitting in Manhattan Beach a lot. Like there's a beach neck, there's the sun out,
Now we talk about teenagers, but there are a lot of adults, parents who play too.
Oh yeah.
What do you see as the effects of that when they're adults who play?
Well, it could either encourage kids to play because it's just a part of their reality right off the bat. They see that and they're like, oh, that's normal. But it could also be like drinking wine where kids, they're like, oh, that looks boring. That's what my parents do.
That's true.
I think there was an old study and it could have been false, but it was an old study on marijuana laws in Amsterdam and how kids actually in Amsterdam were less likely to smoke pot because their parents do it. And so it just looks boring to them, like wine.
So we just get the old people, right? That's what the old people do. You know? Yeah. I think when you're in your teens or early 20s, anything above 30 is old. So
yeah, it's crazy you say that now because in my head, anything above 70 is old.
So let's just get all the old people to doing it, and then that will be a countermeasure of kids doing it.
Exactly.
So what have you found to be alternative or ways of doing things and finding balance in your life?
You know, when it comes down to it, would I rather play a video game where I'm riding a bike, or would I rather go out and actually ride a bike, or would I rather play a video game of a sport or go out and actually do it? There's exceptions. I'm not like, I don't, I'm going to play a war game. I'm not going to go to war.
Exactly.
A war game. Or when I was gaming a lot, I would have rather played Call of Duty or Halo or whatever. I think that the alternatives is to find hobbies outside of it.
So it sounds like this is a lot to do with the parents, right? Because when you got a 10-year-old or a 6-year-old, right, young kids, they're not going to go, oh, I need to find a hobby outside of playing video games or something like that.
Interesting.
So, or even the teenagers, they're going to be on social media. They're going to be on there and they're not thinking, what can I do? So then what advice would you give parents then if they've got young children, tweens, teenagers?
I think that one thing that I really liked that my parents did was they introduced me to my dad, for example, introduced me to skateboarding when I was just learning how to walk, and because he would ride a skateboard. And then that's why in middle school and high school, I was really, really into skateboarding. I would spend a lot of time outdoors naturally, and that skateboarding and biking, which he also introduced me to at a really young age, kind of became my favorite things to do. And that led me to being interested in hiking and climbing and other sports. I barely skateboard anymore. I wish I still did, but that there's toys that keep you outdoors because there's so much more fun.
Yeah.
And that's, I think learning a trick on a skateboard in my driveway was just as, if not more challenging, and stimulating for my brain and body than like playing whatever video game I was into. Because there's, you know, they both require a practice and a certain kind of like problem solving mentality. And the skateboarding is healthier, at least physically, definitely.
Yeah, and you're using your motor skill, right?
Yeah.
So this sounds like basically whatever, as a parent, you are interested in, you introduce it to your child, and this is a way that you both can do something together.
Yeah, and even if you're not interested in it as an adult, to then just use your kid as a reason to kind of pick something new up. Like maybe you've never skied before, but you want your kid to ski, so you go skiing and it's your first time skiing with your kid. I know parents who have done that, and I thought that was really, I really respected that.
Yeah, I think that at least that shows that you want to try something new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be so. I mean, skiing is a very high, heavy apparatus sport. They're, you know, that's complicated. It doesn't have to be that complicated. Yeah. You can just be like, oh, I was never a hiker.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, go take your kid out on a hike and be like, oh, well, actually, maybe I do like hiking now.
So any resources you recommend on this topic for parents?
I have to say there is a couple of podcasts. There's a podcast called TED Radio Hour, and there's a two-part, it's an NPR show. Basically, they blend six different TED Talks with interviews with the TED Talkers, and it's a really good show, or five or six different TED Talks. And there's...
Would you have the link to that?
There's a two-part series. Yeah, I could send it. There's a two-part series called Screen Time that was really good. They're being on screens and whatnot. And there's another show called Fresh Air that's been around for much longer than the other one. And there was an episode about addictive technology. Sorry, I'm just looking.
No, it's okay. Keep looking. So it'd be great if you can email me all those sources or links to it, and then I'll put it in the show notes for the listeners to click on and just go straight to it.
Yeah. I just thought of those because I think I talked about them during the interview. There's plenty of other resources. Those are just two recent ones.
Yeah, it's good just to have somewhere to start because, as you know, there's too much information out there and we don't know where to start.
Yeah, how to filter it.
Yeah, like which one is good, because you'd be on the internet all day long and then there you go, screen time. So yeah, if you know some really good places or website or resources, I'll put it in the show notes if you send that to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. We're out of time. So basically, there's plenty of video games that promote health and physical activity. Like you were saying, they require players to do physical moves like dancing and sports. So I don't think playing video games is not unhealthy. It's a healthy hobby, right, for everyone and anyone, just as long as you play it in moderation.
Oh yeah. And we didn't even talk about those kind of, you mean like the Wii?
Yeah, yeah.
The Dance Dance Revolution and that kind of stuff like that. I remember having a Dance Dance Revolution mat at my house, and my parents would encourage us to play because we were like sweating after an hour of playing that game, and it's actually good for your hand-eye coordination and whatnot. So
yeah, so there are some great video games. I guess the whole point of the show is that you just got to find a balance,
yeah,
of outdoor sports or at least physical activity games as opposed to just shooting up game or virtual game. And that one activity is not good. You have to have multiple activities.
Yeah, diversify your activities.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ben, for all your input.
Sure. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, well, thank you so much. And thank you, listeners. Until next time, always be learning and always be growing. Have a great week. Thank you so much for joining us today. Go to parentpumpradio.com and click on the pink box on the top of our homepage to listen to our new and archived shows. To be instantly notified of new episodes, subscribe to our RSS feed. The RSS feed button is located at the top of the page where all our shows are featured. And after listening to the show, go to parentpumpradio.com or our Facebook page to leave your comments, questions, and topic suggestions. And while you're at our website, sign up to receive a free gift. Until next time, have a wonderful week.